Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. It'll be John 2, 1 through 11. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festival, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that is not our problem," he replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 12 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. So, this morning, talking to Cameron and Connor, neither of which are in here right now, so I get to talk about them. We were talking about this scripture, and I said, you know, Jesus turned water into wine to liven up a party. And in a way, he did. But if that's all you get out of this scripture, then you've missed the point of this scripture entirely. I was actually at the spot where they say the wedding in Cana happened. I was able to renew the wedding vows of two people, both that had been married for over 40 years. One of them I knew I was going to be renewing the renewal of their vows. The other one I didn't. It was a good thing that one, I knew I was doing it, because if the others came up to me at the chapel and said, "Hey, will you renew our vows?" I would not have known the liturgy to be able to do it. It would have been just weird on my phone. But what the point of this wedding thing is talking about, the point of Jesus bringing in his first signs, y'all, the whole thing here is talking about the power of Jesus, the power of the signs that he produces. Because if we go to the very beginning of this, Jesus is at a wedding, at a festival, and they run out of wine. They run out of something that's needed for the festival. And our scripture says his mom came directly to him. It doesn't say that she tried to figure out a way to get more wine. It doesn't say that they tried to do anything else. She went straight to Jesus and said, "They have no more wine." She brought the problem directly to the one that might be able to do something about it. She brought the problem directly to Christ. Now, Jesus' response to her, and this one, it kind of cleans it up a little bit and says, "Dear woman." If you go to a more direct translation, it just says, "Woman." And the first time I read that, I was like, "Whoo, if I said that to my mom." "Woman?" Yeah. So I had to do a little bit of research on that, and y'all, that was not an uncommon thing in the thing, my country coming out of me, uncommon thing in the time for a man to say, call a woman, woman, directly. It was not meant to be demeaning. It was just a thing of address. But it was not normal for a son to use that address for his mother. For Jesus to say woman to his mom was Jesus putting himself in authority over his mother. This is important because Mary doesn't balk at this, does she? Mary doesn't look at him and say, "Excuse me?" Mary accepted the authority. She had already come to him and said, "They've run out of wine. We've got a problem." And when he says to her, "Woman," the son being in authority now. And it was allowable at that point when he accepts the authority. But Mary accepted his authority as well. He tells her, this is not my problem. My time has not yet come. Now, Mary doesn't know the full extent of what Jesus is, but she does know he's the Messiah. She doesn't know the full meaning of that at this point, but she does know that he was divinely given to her. I mean, an angel told her when she was conceiving that he's Jesus. He says, my time has not yet come. But that doesn't stop Mary, does it? Mary looks over at the servants and says, do whatever it is he tells you to do. I know it's going to get handled. The servants then go over and Jesus has them fill up these jars with water. They fill them all the way up with water. And it doesn't go in here and talk about Jesus going over and pouring powders into it or Jesus saying certain incantations over it. It doesn't even say that Jesus prayed. The scripture says, he says, now draw some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies. He draws out the water, the wine, and takes it to the master of ceremonies who drinks of it and says, wow, every one of these I've ever been to, they served the expensive stuff in the beginning and waited for everybody to get a little bit inebriated. Then they served the less expensive when people couldn't tell. But here, they saved the best stuff for last. Because Jesus not only turned water into wine to liven up a party, he made really good wine. But what we want to talk about is the power of what happened. Because Mary knew it. Mary understood what was fixing to go down. She didn't know that he was going to change water into wine, but she knew that it was going to be Christ's power that was going to take place. Because the servants filled the water up. They filled up all the jars, but the servants did not even change one molecule of that water into wine. Not one. That was all through the power of Jesus Christ that water got changed into wine. It's not the servants' power. The servants had to do the work of filling it up, but then God did the work. Jesus Christ changed that. And this is where we need to go today, and we need to talk about our lives. I talked to the kids this morning, and I talked about the power of Jesus Christ. I talked about the power of God being able to do things that they can't do. Now, yeah, I made a funny joke about that. I get asked to reach the things on the top shelf. But truthfully, when we run into problems, do we go to Jesus first? Is that our first response is, hey, I'm going to go to Jesus Christ to fix this problem? Or is our first response to unbutton and roll up our shirt sleeves and say, I'll get this handled right now? Is our first response to see what we can do with the problem? I know my first response is often, I can handle that. I can fix that. Sometimes that's my response when my wife brings me her problems. Gentlemen, that's not the right response when your wife brings you her problems. I've learned that. She wants me to listen, and it takes everything I've got not to try and fix her problems, because that's what I do. I try to fix things. But how often do I go over and the first thing I do is get down on my knees and take it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your help with this? That doesn't mean I'm not going to have to roll my sleeves up. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have to get to work after I go to Christ. In fact, I'm probably going to have to work real hard. But at that point, I'm working with the power of Christ and not the power of Adam Moore. Now, there's certain things I can just do because Christ has given me some gifts and skills, but there are other things that I can't do on my own. And I need to go to my knees. Way back in the 15th century, Martin Luther, you know, the guy that nailed the 95 Theses to the door and started off the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther, after he got the Protestant Reformation kicked off and he was death threats on his life and he was translating the Bible into German and all sorts of stuff was going on and life was chaotic and busy. Martin Luther's famous quote is, he is so busy that he has to pray for 3 hours a day because 2 hours just won't cut it. I am so busy that I have to pray for 3 hours because the normal 2 hours that he would pray wouldn't do it. The busier he got, the tougher it got, the more he had to go to pray, not the less. I notice in my life a lot of times when things get really busy, something's got to get cut out, right? You've got to let something go. And what's the thing you let go? A lot of times it's the prayer life. A lot of times it's your Bible study. A lot of times it's the stuff of God, where if you're relying on the power of God, when things get chaotic and things get busy and things get hard, you should be getting on your knees. And we should go back to God. Because far too often in our lives, we have these huge monumental tasks that we try to take on, and we work on them, and we beat our heads against them, and we break our bodies on them, trying to get these monumental tasks done, until finally, we are utterly broken and down on our knees, right back where we should have started from in the first place, saying, God, give me the power to do this. Let your power come into me so that this can be done. I've seen it in my life where I've had things that I had to get done, things that needed to be done. Mine has a lot to do with academic stuff because I'm a great dyslexic, where I run into a class and I go hardcore with it, and there's no way I can pull off the rest of this class. And I have to get down on my knees and go, all right, Lord, if I'm going to get through this piece of my life, if you want me to get through this, you're going to have to make it happen because there's not enough in me to do this anymore. And it's amazing the times when that happens and all of a sudden pathways are opened up in front of you. The power of God becomes manifest in your life and you get to see that the things happen after you've hit your knees and you've gone to God with the issue, when you've taken it to the cross, gotten down on your knees and said, Lord, give me the power to do this. In our Bible study, our Bible lesson today, Mary didn't wait till then. Mary went straight to Jesus. And when Jesus said, I am in authority over you, Mary didn't balk. Because we have a problem with that as well. We'll go to Christ and we'll be like, all right, Christ, I need your help, but here are the parameters of what I want. Here's where I need you in my life. Not in all of it. I don't want to give you full authority over me. Just this one place that I want your help. Y'all, Christ doesn't want part of you. Christ wants your entire life. Christ wants you. So when you come to Christ, you got to bring it all. You've got to bring every bit of it and submit yourself to him. When Christ is your Lord, he is an authority over you. So if he looks at you and says, woman or boy or however it is, your answer is yes, Lord. Your answer to that is going to be telling those that are working with you, do whatever he tells you. Not what you want to do, but whatever it is that Christ tells you to do. The power of Christ, the only cost of it is us submitting to Christ. Us submitting to our Lord and Savior who went to a cross for us. Christ died for us. So he's not going to do something or have you do something that's going to be ill for you. Through Christ, all things are possible. Through Christ, power, you can do anything. But you've got to rely on Christ. And here's the real catcher on that. Is sometimes when you really come forward to Christ and you've got this monumental task in front of you that you feel needs to be done, you know what sometimes happens? Christ says this wasn't the task for you. Sometimes you have to let go of that task that you thought was yours to do. Let it go and let Christ have it to do it his way. Because sometimes that's not what Christ wanted for you in the first place. We need to rely on Jesus Christ. We need to rely on Jesus Christ's power. Some of y'all were here for the revival that we had a year ago. Wow. It was like a year and a month ago, wasn't it? A year and a month ago. And I ended it by saying a prayer. Not doing it. Erica was not here for that, and she told me before I did that prayer that night, if I ever prayed that prayer again, she was going to kill me. There is a prayer, and I'm going to state it to you all. The prayer is, Lord, place before me an impossible task, and then dare me to do it. Let me tarry in defeat until, utterly broken, I am down on my knees, and then and only then allow it to succeed, so that I know that it was through your power and not mine. Okay? I have prayed that prayer, I think, 3 times now. The last time we got Cameron, a week later, one of the times we did it, I was in seminary and we got Caroline in the middle of seminary. It's an amazing prayer, but it's a prayer that if you do it, you're challenging God to put something up in front of you so large that you can't do it alone, that you've got to hit your knees. So if you pray a prayer like that, people, if you do it, and I guarantee you your life will be blessed if you do, be smart and hit your knees in the beginning. Don't wait until you have to be completely broken. Get down on your knees and let God's power work through it, not yours. Because I can tell you, we aren't big enough to take on the world. And we don't have to be, because our Lord Jesus Christ has already taken on the Lord and the world and the devil for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has already won the victory. Start relying on his power and not your own. Amen? Bow your heads. Father God, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for the power of Christ in our lives, Lord. I thank you for the times that we get to see it, Lord. And I ask for you to give us the strength to let go and rely on Jesus Christ's power. Let us rely on his power through us so that the work we do is done in the name of Jesus Christ and not the name of ourselves. Help us to be able to submit our whole being to him, Lord. Not just a little bit, but the entire being, so that Christ can take us and make us into the men and the women of God that he wants us to be. In his holy name we pray. Amen.